Time for Message in the Bottle. Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese joins us. Hello, Eric.
Well, good evening. I was so tempted to join you in the voice of Jen Shepherd as Dr. Ruth. It was ultimately a last second decision to not do that. But doesn't she sound great? Isn't that funny? Everybody should go see it.
I've heard. I've not been yet. My wife has been, and everybody I've talked to says that she is phenomenal in this.
I have not seen it either, but ditto. Everybody says it's amazing, and Jen is awesome, and so I have no doubt it's fantastic. And in retrospect, what an amazing subject. Like, that's just fantastic. And how odd is it, like, I hate to say this, it's not the first time I've thought about this, that both our matriarchs in the culinary world, that being Julia Child, and also Dr. Ruth in the sexuality realm, both have just such distinct voices that are so awful. and yet they took hold in such an amazing way that you're well. It's to the point where a talent like Jen can you know replicate it. It's just very it's amused me for years. Hope everybody's well. Hope you're well, gentlemen. It was nice to join you last Wednesday.
That was delightful.
Talk about it was. It's good to see summer again. We, you know, a lot of people always assume that we downtown merchants and Summer and I are also obviously on the Downtown Bangor Partnership Board that we see each other all the time, like we have some sort of secret enclave, and we do. It's a fabulous club. You should come sometime. but ultimately, no. Like, we're all just like struggling business people, just like the rest of everybody. And it's so delightful to actually just sort of sit down with her and shoot the proverbial, as it were. So why we're here tonight. By the way, I just wanted to mention we're having a sale. We still have an awful lot of tremendous wines that I would like to share, and not only would like to, but I as I mentioned in my newsletter last week, I feel like a car dealer. I really do have, like, new models rolling in, so I do need to make room. So come on in and get a good deal on some wine. We've been talking about where wine comes from, and we're going to sort of be, we start our, as I call it every year, the world tour soon. And we talked last week about Burgundy. And the idea of this plot of land versus that plot of land, and this grape in this plot of land is better, and here's why. So this week we turn our attention to the New World, and the New World is in itself sort of a ridiculous thing to talk about, especially in a couple of months we'll talk about South Africa, for instance, which. If memory serves, the Constantia vineyard was planted in 1649. So you tell me if that's new or old world. But it's considered new world, because it wasn't Europe, right? Like, sort of, everything spread from Europe because that's how, I'll just throw it out there, the white man's version of history goes.
Mm.
For better or worse, it is the history of grapes that we like to drink. And so we shan't get into any sort of political diatribe. But the New World took its ideas from the Old World. I don't think I talked much about it this year, but I'll just sort of briefly touch on the fact that obviously there was many wars. something that I sort of was chatting about with my children as we explored all the many, 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 many fortresses and walls. In southern France, which was Gaul, which was many other things. And I'm like, this country and every other country around here was rife with invaders and invasions and different, you know, cultures. But essentially, the one thing that remained was food and drink. And the idea of food and drink came back with not only our soldiers, but also immigrants from the areas where food and drink were and are still important. So the idea of the single vineyard, the single plot of land being more important or less important than anything else, did travel with these immigrants. But here, as we've mentioned many times, we don't have the specific laws that they do in a lot of parts of Europe. We're a little more loosey-goosey, but what we do have is the AVA, the American Viticultural Area. But we do have single vineyards, and they're not ranked like you have in Burgundy, for instance, which we were talking about last week. You have Premier Cru and Grand Cru, and you know this slight tilt of the earth is better than this slight tilt of the earth. And we don't really do that. And, you know, I'm not here to judge, but we don't. You know, it is literally a matter of degrees, of pitch, of soil consistency. Here, it is basically a swath of the earth that someone designated and said, this is special-er than that plot of land over there. The first one was Martha's Vineyard, which is it's a property in the Heights estate. It was declared in 1966 in Sonoma. Do they matter as much or as little? I don't know. They're very large. A lot of them are very large. And they're planted to a lot of grapes. So it really seems to lack the strict authoritative values of a place like France or Italy. That said, places like France and Italy and other places have so often adulterated their wines over the course of their official status history that it's tough to say who's, you know, able to be more sanctimonious. I think the point more in this country and in any country probably is that the winemaker matters more. You can source grapes from many well-known vineyards here in America, in places like Argentina, other places in, quote, the New World that took this idea of, you know, single vineyard specialness. But it seems to be much, much more in the hands of the winemaker here. So it's just something to keep in mind because I think in the old world, there's a sense of, you know, the winemaker's touch, but I think they're trying to sort of say, oh, this is from this specific type of soil, which is supposed to taste like this. And the idea of tasting like is a weird concept, but that's essentially the concept of a place like Pommard, for instance. Pommard is a village in Burgundy where it is iron-rich soil, so it was described to me early on, like you bite your tongue and you're bleeding and you're tasting like your irony blood, and that's what Pommard is supposed to taste like, which is super appealing to me.
Yes,
that's why I drink so much Pommard. Anyway, it's silly, but it's true. I don't touch the stuff to this day. Though when I taste it, I appreciate it, or I try to appreciate it for that. Whereas here in the new world, the single vineyard is simply to try and grow grapes the best they can. So perhaps that's what we take away from all this. I'm sure amount of time. Everybody get boosted, get your stuff. We're continuing to recommend masks in the shop, but we're not going to be hardcore because it's not worth it. Please continue to take care of each other. And that all being said, I will join you next week for we'll talk about, I think, pork.
You've got a week to practice that Dr. Ruth voice if you want to do it next week.
Okay, Richard, I try. I know that wasn't very good. I'll work on it.
All right, we look forward to that. Thank you, Eric.
Okay, very good. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen. It's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company with Message in the Bottle. Stop in and see Eric and Morgan and the crew at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.